This message is presented to you by Pastor David Lambert and Exceed Life Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. For more information, visit exceedlifechurch.org.
Today, I want to start a new series. And we're going to be talking about the rapture and the return of Jesus. Amen. Is this exciting or what? So my goal in this series is to get you excited about the return of Jesus. And some people get nervous about the return of Jesus because some people, I believe, they misinterpret the scriptures and think that we're going through the tribulation. So hopefully when I finish this sermon today, you'll get a revelation that there's two events. There's the rapture of the church and the second coming of Jesus. Yeah. Two different events. Amen? And that seven-year tribulation, you don't want to be here. Yeah. Amen? You want to be caught up on the second load, as I say. Amen? Yeah. And you'll get that as I read the scriptures. Hallelujah. And but God is so good. So God. So the reason why we are really close to the return of Jesus. Amen? And the Bible prophecy has a lot of talking about Israel, and Israel is in the tribulation and all that. And really, Jesus couldn't come back until the nation of Israel was established. And the nation of Israel was established in 1948. And now they're a thriving nation today. Amen. And so this is one of the reasons why that Jesus could come back. In Ezekiel 38, it's talking about other nations coming against Israel. It seems like there's always people coming against Israel, shooting rockets at Israel and all that. And that just tells you that we're in the end times. Amen? We know that we're in the end times because knowledge is increasing exponentially. Knowledge is increasing. In Daniel 12:4, it says, "But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase." Amen. We are in the age of AI. Does anybody know what AI stands for? Artificial intelligence. They're even enabling to merge computers with the brain. Amen. And Elon Musk has taken a part of that. And so now they're merging computers with people. Is that amazing? Now it's for good. You know, they're trying to do it for good, but I believe it's setting up for the whole mark of the beast. Amen. We're moving towards that technology advancements where everybody in the tribulation is going to receive a mark, amen, that wants one. People that don't want one will not receive the mark, but they won't be able to buy and sell. Amen? And so we know this, that we're getting close to the return of Jesus. I was at Whole Foods, and they have these new scanners at Whole Foods. And the lady asked me if I wanted to, you know, try their new scanner. And the scanner hooks in with your credit card and reads your palm. Reads your palm. So it's a palm reader. No pun intended. Pun intended. It can actually read your palm. In other words, it can take a schematic of your palm print. Wow. Is that powerful? So we're getting close. Somebody say we're getting close to the return of Jesus. Amen. To the rapture of the church, really. And so we know this, and I really don't want you to get nervous about it. I really want you to get excited that Jesus is coming back. Yeah. Especially if you have a lot of problems. You really want Jesus to rapture you now. Amen. If you got problems, Jesus, come back now. You know. Amen. And so we know this, that Jesus was talking to his disciples in John 14. And he was telling his disciples that he was going to go to heaven. Of course, he's in heaven right now, but he's coming back. And he said, "Let not your heart be troubled," in John 14, 1, 3. "Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions." I'm telling you, when you get to heaven, you're going to have a mansion. That's exciting. Amen. You got all these, maybe these ungodly people that have mansions here, but that's only temporary. This world is temporary, but heaven is forever. Glory to God. It's eternal. And he says, in my house are many mansions. If it was not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. The Lord is working on a place for each one of us. Do you believe that today? Amen. Amen. And I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come and receive you to myself, and where I am, there you may be also. So he's saying here, I'm coming back to receive you as for myself, glory to God. Jesus is coming back. Have you ever seen the movie Terminator? I'll be back. Was the famous line of Arnold Schwarzenegger when he came in and to go into, I don't know, some place that he was going into. He said, I'll be back. And he came back with some artillery. Amen. And so Jesus is coming back too on the second coming. And you know what? He's coming back with all the saints. Do you know we're going to be coming back with Jesus riding on spiritual horses to take this planet back. Amen. That's the second coming. We're coming back with Jesus, but we're going up with Jesus first and foremost. Amen. Amen. And I like this because in the Acts 1:8, it says here in Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power. Somebody say, I have power.
I have power.
Amen. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, in Virginia Beach, Chesapeake, and Norfolk, and the ends of the earth.
Amen.
Now, when he had spoken these things, I just added those in there because you know what? That's where we're at.
Amen.
We're not over, over in Jerusalem, amen, or Israel, but we're here. Somebody say, God's calling me to be a witness. He's calling you to be a witness in the last days, glory to God. And you're not supposed to be a sad witness. You're supposed to be a happy witness. You're supposed to be excited about the things of God. Can I get a witness in the house today? I'm preaching to happy people today. You're not disgruntled. You're not cast down. You're not depressed. Glory to God. Amen. No. You're joyful Christians. Hallelujah. And he says here, and he was taken up, Jesus taken up in a cloud and received him out of their sight. So Jesus was speaking to them, and then Jesus was taken up in a cloud. Is that amazing? I love clouds. Amen. And you can see things in clouds. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. It's God's artwork in the sky.
Amen.
Do you believe that? God's clouds is his artwork in the sky. Amen. Do you ever look at clouds out here? Amen. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel who also said, now those two men were angels, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus that was taken up from you into heaven will so come like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Amen. So this is telling me that even though Jesus was taken up in a cloud, he's coming back in a cloud.
Amen.
That's powerful. That's powerful. Now we're going to focus on a rapture scripture here. Amen. And it's in 1 Thessalonians 4:15 through 18. And he says this, for this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. The dead in Christ will rise first. Amen. That's the reason why we're going up in the second load. Because Jesus is coming back before any of us go by the wayside. Amen. Before we go to heaven, Jesus is coming back. I believe that. Now you may say, well, they say that in every generation. This is a generation that he's coming back. If there's a generation, he's closer to coming back than we can ever believe. Amen. And I love that. So with a trump and the dead in Christ will rise first, then he who are alive will remain shall be caught up. That's us. Amen. And that Greek word caught up means a pass. It's Greek word. It's a paso, means to snatch up. It's a Latin word that is called rapture, together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. That's powerful. Because I'm going to say this. In here, Paul is talking about the rapture of the church. And he's talking about comforting one another with these words. There's no comfort in going through the tribulation. I'm going to say that again. There's comfort in being raptured. I'm an escapist. I like Houdini, amen? I want to escape out of here. Jesus is coming back on a rescue mission to rescue us, because he's not coming back for a beat up bride. I'm going somewhere today. He's not coming back for a bride that's all beat up and messed up and with a black eye and a bloody nose. That's what's going to happen in the tribulation. Black eyes and bloody noses and heads being cut off. Amen. That's the tribulation. But we're not going to be there.
Amen.
Amen. I'm not planning on being there. Now, some people believe, and once I'm done with this message, hopefully, if you're believing that we're going through the tribulation, hopefully I'll change your mind. Amen. And so notice that Jesus comes back to the church, meets them in the clouds. This reveals that the second coming, Jesus is coming to set his foot on the Mount of Olives. That's what the Bible says. So he's coming the first time, or he's coming in the rapture in the clouds. But the second coming, it says in Zechariah 14:4 that he's going to set his feet on the Mount of Olives in Jerusalem. So there's two different events. Amen. The Bible is a prophetic book. Amen. And there's glimpses of the rapture in the Bible, in the Old Testament. And in Hebrews 11:5, this is a glimpse of the rapture. And in Hebrews 11:5, it says, by faith, Enoch was taken up so that he did not see death, and he was not found because God has taken him before he was taken. He had the testimony that he pleased God. Amen. Amen. So Enoch, how many people want to be like Enoch out here? Amen. Enoch was a man that pleased God. I'm looking at God pleasers this morning. You are God pleasers. And that's one of the keys of being rapture ready, is being a person that pleases God every day of your life. You should be intent to please God every day in your life. Enoch was taken up before the flood. Before the flood came, and this would be represent, Enoch would represent the Christian being raptured before the judgment of tribulation. This is the key. And then there's another account here in Hebrews 11:7. It says, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear and prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. So I love this. So Noah was divinely warned. See, I believe this, that before Jesus comes back, we're going to know. We're going to have a knowing. We're going to have a sense. We're going to have an understanding. The Holy Spirit's going to reveal to us he's coming back soon.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. And so here, Noah was divinely warned of things to come, and he built an ark for his family. I'm going to say this, that we need to be building an ark for our families. We need to be letting our families know that Jesus is coming back, that they need to get their lives together, amen, that they need to put Jesus first place in all of their lives. We need to be building that ark of safety. Hallelujah. Can I get a witness in the house today? And so this account of the of Noah going through tribulation, some would say, well, see, that's like the Christian. We're going to be like Noah going through the tribulation, but we'll be safe in the ark. I'm going to say this. Noah is not a representation of the Christian. He's a representation of the Jewish person that's down here. Amen. And so I believe that Noah is a representation of the Jews. The Jews will be down here. Amen. And we know this because we know there's going to be a great revival in the tribulation. And the Bible talks about there's going to be 144,000 Jews that will be saved, at least.
Yeah.
At least 144,000 Jews. And so we know this, that the Jewish people will be down here, and they will be, and a lot of Jews will get saved in the tribulation. But we're not Jews. We're Christians.
That's right.
Amen. We're saints, glory to God. And so we don't want to misinterpret the Bible. And so when people read Matthew 24 and they read about the tribulation, they put themselves in Matthew 24, where you got to rightly divide the Bible and understand who Jesus is talking about. He's not, and when Jesus was talking about the end of the days, about the coming of the Lord, the church wasn't even established at that time. It was just the Jews. The church didn't come into existence until Peter preached. Hallelujah. And 3,000 people were won into the kingdom of God. And so the church wasn't even there. And so it says here in Matthew 24, let me encourage you this morning by reading some accounts here in Matthew 24. Then let those who are in Judea, notice that, verse 16, let those who are in Judea, who lives in Judea? The Jews. Flee to the mountains. Amen. Let him who is on the housetop not go down and take anything out of the house. And let him who is in the field not go back and get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and those who are nursing babes in those days. Talking about the tribulation. And pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath. Now, Jews practice the Sabbath. Amen. Now, I know as Christians, you know, our Sabbath is Sunday, but we're not traditionally Sabbath people. Amen. And so this is telling you that it's the Jewish people that's going to go through the tribulation, and many Jews will be saved in the tribulation.
Right.
Amen. Because they will know, because they will see Jesus. I would think everybody, when Jesus comes to pick us up, everybody's going to see Jesus. And they're going to turn, glory to God, to the Lord, amen? And it says here, for there will be great tribulation such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time, nor ever shall be, unless those days are shortened. No flesh will be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened, glory to God. So we see here that we get a clue. If you put yourself in here, I could see how you could get nervous. But he's talking about the Jew going through the tribulation. Amen. And so here's an account also of Sodom and Gomorrah. And this is a great account. Amen. Sodom and Gomorrah had judgment come on those two cities. And the judgment, mainly the judgment was on their sin, and their main sin was homosexuality. And homosexuality is a sin. Even some churches don't believe that. Some churches are allowing homosexual ministers in the pulpits. And they're allowing that, but it is a sin, and that is a sin that God frowns on.
Amen.
Amen. And if God calls it sin, we got to call it sin.
Amen.
Amen. We can't be politically correct. Amen. And say love is love. Amen. We got to go with what God says. I got to go with the Bible. I can't go with my opinion or man's opinion. I got to go with or popular vote. I got to go with the Bible. And because of this great sin, God had to rain judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah. Amen. But I'm going to say this, that we don't need to, we need to shun sin in the last days, and we need to embrace God's righteousness in our lives for the return of Jesus. So I'm going to say this, shun sin. And grace is the power to help us shun sin. Shun sin, amen. In this world, amen. In Titus 2:11-12, it says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should..." Just because you feel some way doesn't make it right. Oh, I'm going somewhere tonight or this morning. Just because we feel a certain way about something doesn't mean it's from God and doesn't mean it's right. You could be married and you could see your lady, you may see a handsome man. Well, just because you feel something about that person, keep loving your husband.
That's right. Amen.
Right. Amen. Right. I might see a pretty lady. Just because my emotions say, "Oh, I like that," you still got to check yourself before you wreck yourself.
Right.
Amen. And so what does grace do? Grace empowers us to live godly. Grace empowers us to shun worldly lust. Grace empowers us to live soberly and righteously in this world. God's grace empowers us. And I love this because if we just lean on it, just all you have to do is pray a simple prayer every day to keep from sinning. Just say, "God, help me." Just, "God, help me." That's all you got to do. Just get God involved. Don't try to say, "Oh, I can do it myself. I have power in my ability. I'm strong-willed." No, your will power only goes so far, but spirit power goes further. And God will help you. Say, "God will help me." Amen. And he says, now look at Titus 2:13. Look at this. This is powerful. He says, "Looking at the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify himself, his own special zealous for good works." Notice this is all connected. The grace of God empowers us to live right, to shun worldly lust, to live soberly. Why do we want to do this? Because we're focused on the blessed hope. What is the blessed hope? Jesus coming back. See, when you focus on the fact that Jesus could come back tonight, you would probably live your life a little differently. You might just call some people. You might live your life a little differently if you knew for a fact Jesus was coming back tonight. I'm telling you that every seat would be filled in this church if people knew that Jesus is coming back tonight. And you got to live your life as if Jesus is coming back. That's how you have to live your life. And when you live your life as Jesus could come back tonight, you will start living your life right before God. Amen. Why? Because you don't want to be left behind. I think there was a movie called Left Behind. I think there was a preacher in that movie was Left Behind. And I don't want to be left behind. Amen? Amen. Now we're going to focus on this story about Sodom and Gomorrah. And Lot was living in Sodom. Lot was the nephew of Abraham. And Abraham had great favor with God. And Abraham tried to, save Sodom and Gomorrah because God spoke to him and said, we're gonna judge these cities. And Abraham said, "Well, if there are 50 righteous people," do you remember that prayer? "Would you spare the city for 50 righteous people?" And the Lord said, "If there's 50 righteous people, I'll spare it. What about 40? And then he said, he was a negotiator. Abraham, and then Abraham said, "What about 30? Because even Abraham was nervous about these cities. And then he went down to 10. And he said, "If there's just 10 righteous people." What if Abraham went down to 1? I think he could have went down just as long. I think it could have probably averted evil. But you know what? Sin has to be judged. I'm going to say this again. God is good, but God is, and good is righteous. He's good and righteous, and his righteousness has to judge sin. Now sin was already judged on the cross. Jesus was judged on the cross for our sins. That's the reason that we have right standing with God. God's righteous judgment came to pass in the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. I will get it out somehow. The crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Amen. And so it's already paid for. Amen. I'm looking at righteous people today. I'm looking at righteous people today. And so Lot was living in Sodom when God's angels came to rescue him and his family from the coming destruction of the city. And Lot, as they were leaving the city, Lot wasn't able to travel to the mountains. And he asked the angel if he could stay in a nearby city. And in Genesis 19:21, it says, and he said to him, "See, I have favor," this is the angel speaking to him, "See, I have favored you concerning this thing, and that I will not overthrow this city for which you have spoken. Hurry, escape there, for I cannot do anything until you arrive there." Therefore, the name of the city was called Zoar. And so we see here that Abraham and his family was escaping, but the angels wanted them to get to the mountains, but I don't know, I guess Lot didn't have his cardio in. I guess he was having problems with cardio. And so the angel said that you could stay in this city. And notice it says here, the angel was really, you know, these angels were the ones that caused the destruction in the cities, I believe. And it says here, the sun has risen upon the earth when Lot entered Zoar, and the Lord rained brimstone and fire and Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. So this is a powerful account of the judgment of God. This type of judgment, the 7-year tribulation is going to be bad too. We're going to find out about it through this series. Let's look at some points about Lot escaping God's judgment. Number one, the Lot had favor with the angel. And I'm going to say this, and his favor, I believe, came from his uncle being Abraham that followed God closely. Now, we know that Lot was a righteous man because the Bible teaches Lot was a righteous man. But that favor, I believe, stemmed from Abraham and his prayers. I'm going to say this, that you praying, staying in the Word, staying close to God will cause you to have favor on your family. Do you believe that today? Amen. You being faithful to God will cause you to have favor on your family. You just coming to church.
Thank you, Jesus.
That will cause the favor of God to work not only in your life like Abraham. I believe some of that favor came from Abraham. Amen. And so he had favor. God's favor is on us, and his favor is his divine protection keeping us from going through the tribulation. Do you believe that today? And the Bible calls us righteous. In Psalms 5:12, it says, For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous with favor. You will surround him as with a shield. Think about that. So God's favor is more than just people being nice to you. That's part of God's favor in our life, is people being nice to us. That's favor. But more than just people being nice to us, God's favor is like a shield that protects us.
Amen.
Do you believe that? I like these amens here. I'm going to hire you two ladies. That was in sync. The worship team is in sync this morning with the amens. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's a shield of favor. Say, I have a shield of favor surrounding me and my family. Glory to God. I love that. And then the angel could not execute judgment until Lot and his family was out of Sodom. That's powerful. And I'm going to say this, that God cannot, I'm making a strong statement today. God will not, you know, drop the tribulation while Christians are still here on this earth.
Amen.
Amen. In other words, he's going to pull us out.
Amen.
What is keeping the tribulation from coming? What's keeping the Antichrist from coming? Us Christians praying.
Amen.
Us Christians witnessing. Amen. Us Christians. What is a Christian? A Christian is the light of the world and the salt of the earth. And light shows up any darkness in people's life. We're the light. We're keeping the lights on this planet. We're also the salt. And what does salt do? Well, salt flavors, but salt also preserves. Is that right? And so we're salt, and what are we doing? We're, as Christians, we're preserving this planet. You are preserving this planet from going down, well, I don't want to say that, going down the toilet. Let's put it that way. I was about to say crapper. But go down the toilet. Amen. You are protecting. Amen. I'm trying to be politically correct here tonight, this morning. Amen. And so say, I'm preserving this planet. Glory to God. Amen. And so I love this. And even in Luke, it talks about Luke 21:36. Jesus is speaking here, and he's talking about the tribulation. And even in Luke 21:36, he says, "Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." I'm telling you, if you are praying always, if you are a prayer, how many prayer people do I have in the house today? The Bible said men ought to always pray and never faint. You need to be a praying Christian. And it's saying here, if you're praying always, pray that you be count worthy to escape the tribulation that's coming on this planet.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I'm praying. Glory to God. And almost every day I'm asking God to forgive me. Glory to God. Lord, if I've done anything to offend you, forgive me. I'm praying the Lord's Prayer every day. And the Lord's Prayer, forgive me of my trespasses as I forgive those who trespass against me. Amen. I want to say, Lord, if there's any areas in my life that I'm messing up and I'm not seeing, please show me and forgive me of anything I may have said, done, or thought.
Amen.
Amen. And thank you for forgiving me for this very second. In Jesus' name. And then I ask God to forgive my family members. Ooh, I'm going to the next level. You start asking God to forgive your family members. Forgive them of any sins. Glory to God. And God will do it. Do you believe that today? God will answer your prayer. Amen. God is motivated to be with us. We are Jesus. We are God's crown jewel in His creation. We are, you know, Jesus was a man, and God became a man to be like us so that we can be like Him. So that we can have glorified bodies. Jesus became like us so that we can become like Him. That's a powerful statement. I'm looking at people becoming more Christ-like. You are becoming more Christ-like every Sunday. You're getting closer and closer, looking more like Jesus. Amen. You, and be careful, you might be mistaken for Jesus. Because you're going to look so much. Remember what the Bible says? When we see Him, we'll be like Him. Yeah. That's what the Bible says. When we see Him, we will be like Him. Amen? And we're going to suffer down here. Jesus suffered down here. But we're going to experience His resurrection power through our suffering. Do you believe that today? Glory to God. So God is motivated to dwell with us in Revelation 21, 1 and 4. It says, "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth has passed away, and there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them.'" Notice that. He will dwell with us. "And they shall be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, no sorrow, no crying." I love that. "There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." I love that song, "There Will Be a Day." No more pain. Amen. No more sorrow. There will be a day. We're headed towards that day. I'm telling you, this life is just a vapor. We're here today and gone tomorrow. This whole year has passed by just like that. And the older we get, the faster it goes. Do you believe that today? This life that we live, even a little bit of pain that we endure in this life is like this, but heaven's like this. Think about that. And this small little amount of time, we need to spend as close to Jesus as possible. Amen? Because our rewards and our blessings depend on it. Amen? I love that. And so Jesus loves us. God loves us. Amen? And I believe that. Let me read an admonition here in 1 Thessalonians 5:1-11. It says, "But concerning all the times of the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write you. For yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction shall come upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman. And they shall not escape, but you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that the day should overtake you as a thief. You are sons of light and sons of the day, and we are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober." This is talking about preparations for the rapture. "For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk, get drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and the helmet of hope of our salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you are also doing." Glory to God. I love that. These are great scriptures here, talking about preparing us for the rapture of Jesus. He talks about that we need to be sober. We need to stay sober in this life. We don't need to be doing anything that gets us intoxicated in the world's ways. Amen? And I'm telling you, entertainment can intoxicate you. Amen? Of course, you can get intoxicated with wine and beer and all that. That has its place, but you don't want that taking control of your life. Amen? And so he's saying here, really, he's saying be sober. It means stay alert, stay awake. Amen. Stay awake. Know the signs of the times. Then he says to be rapture ready, we need the breastplate of faith and love for in these end days. So we need to be walking in faith and we need to be walking in love before Jesus comes back. And then he says, keep the helmet of hope, which is our salvation. So keep the helmet of hope on. Get the breastplate of faith and love and a helmet of hope and salvation. What is that helmet of hope? Is that Jesus is coming back for us.
Amen.
That's the helmet of hope. Jesus is coming back for us. So what do we need to do to get prepared for the return of Jesus? First of all, you need to get serious with God.
Amen.
You can't. Now is not the time to play around. Now is the time to get serious with God. In 1 Peter 4:7, it says, "The end of all things are at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers." Amen. I love that. Number two, we need to get our relationships right. If you have any problems with anybody, get it right. If you have any ought in your heart towards anybody in your life, get it right. Get unforgiveness out of your life. Bring reconciliation into your relationships. In 1 Peter 4:8-9, it says, "And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling." Amen. Hey, it's not just doing something nice for somebody. It's doing something nice and being nice.
Amen.
You can do something nice and grumble while you're doing it. Have you ever done anything nice and grumbled while you were doing it? There's no reward for you in heaven when you're like that. You got it. You got the job done, but you did it with a bad attitude. That's why Brother Hagin was suffering financial problems in his ministry. And the Lord, and he was praying and fasting. Lord, you know, he went as an itinerant minister. He went preaching in different churches, but he was a pastor. He said, Lord, when I was a pastor, I was treated better as a pastor than now I'm out here. You have me doing this. And he said, and the Bible says you can eat the best of the land if you're willing and obedient. And the Lord said, you're obedient, but you're not willing. You have an attitude. Make sure you check your attitude at the door before you get into the place.
Amen.
Make sure that we're checking our attitude and make sure that our attitude is right. Your attitude will determine your altitude in this life.
Amen.
Do you believe that today?
Amen.
It's not attitude, it's not aptitude, it's altitude. It's, what is it? What is it? It's attitude, not aptitude, that determines your altitude. I got it out. Amen. Amen. Don't you like these little sayings of mine? Amen. Glory to God. It's attitude, not aptitude, not your smarts. Amen. That brings you into the blessings of God. Amen. And number three, what we need to do is we need to get serious with God. Number one. Number two, get our relationships right. And number three, we need to fulfill our purpose. God has a purpose for each one of us. And we need to fulfill our purpose. God has a calling. I believe God has a calling for each one of us. He's called us to church, and he's called us to fulfill a purpose in the church that we're attending. Amen? And it says in 1 Peter 4:10, as each one of you receive a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Amen? So when is the end coming? The end is coming soon. Amen. And we know that it says in Matthew 24:14, and the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. So the gospel will be preached. And so what is the Lord, what does he want us to do before Jesus comes back? He wants us to keep preaching the gospel. He wants us to keep being a witness for people around us. He wants us to be a light to a dark world. He wants us to be the salt to not only bring flavor into this world system, but to preserve the world through the love of Jesus Christ. Did you receive it today? I believe this is going to be a great series. I believe you're going to be blessed. So stay tuned next week. Amen. I'm telling you, I'm getting you guys rapture ready. Amen. Because not everybody in this church is going to make it up on the second load. The dead in Christ are raised first, and then those that remain will be raised up together to meet him in the air.
Amen.
Amen. And I'm looking forward to it. Amen. Sometimes my salutation at the end, I would say, I'll see you here, there, or in the air.
Amen.
Amen. Here, there, or in the air. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I just thank you for your mercies and your goodness. I thank you that you are getting us ready for your imminent return. And I thank you, Father God, for the precious people here. And I thank you, Lord God, that we will, Father God, endeavor to do everything we can to be rapture ready, Father. We're going to get serious with you. We're going to get our relationships right. And we're going to fulfill our purpose. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Perhaps you're here in the audience. Perhaps you're watching and you never made a decision for Jesus. Well, today is the day of salvation. I want to give you the opportunity to do that by praying a simple prayer that will usher you into the kingdom of God. Just say this out loud and mean your heart if you're ready to receive Christ. Say, dear Jesus, I believe you were crucified for me. I believe you were raised from the dead to save me. And today I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. And Heavenly Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that for the first time, we believe you got born again. Stay connected with us at Exceed Life Church. If you're here locally, come on out. We want you to be a part of Exceed Life Church. If you're not here locally, find a good church home where you can grow in Christ. And keep tuning in every Sunday morning at 10:30 so that you can get your faith built. Amen.
We thank you for listening to this message. For more information, visit us at exceedlifechurch.org.